Okay, so yeah, we're going to start with lesson number four. So the reason why we're doing lesson number four is because we had planned all of this stuff a bit ago, and then all of a sudden my doctor was like, nope, I'm going to do surgery on your neck on October 26th, and so I'm doing mine now. So everybody, this is how it's going to be. Lesson one is history, values, and mission. Kurt's going to do that one. Membership commitments, Brian will do that one. Values of saved and belong, Ben Gross will do that one. And I'm going to do the values of grow and give today. So that is why. So Kurt also, in the meantime, since I was having my neck surgery, he's like, well, we'll switch. And then he ended up going down to up to La Crosse, Wisconsin today. So he's preaching up there. But yeah, we'll just go ahead and jump in. One thing that I would like to give you guys for homework is at some point in the next month, for those of you that weren't here in January, some of you were, but many of you were not here in January, I'd like you guys to go onto our website and go to the State of the Church address from, yeah, January. So there's two messages there in January for the State of the Church address. I want you guys to watch those, okay? Just simply because those two messages really do a lot to describe exactly what New Life Community Church is. Aside from everything that we're going to cover in the next 4 weeks, that does a really good job. If you want to know who we are and what we are, what we're about, that's it. So I'm going to cover a few things. I'm not going to go very much in depth from that, but we've got a list of things. There's 9 things that I believe make us incredibly unique at New Life Community Church that most churches don't operate this way. And I'm going to cover a few of them in detail, but not all. A lot of this is from those two messages from the State of the Church address in January. But Renew Ministry, that makes us incredibly unique. I don't know of another church that does Renew Ministry the way that we do. So I think it's probably safe for me to say that 99% of churches don't do Renew Ministry, don't do the counseling ministry the way that we do it here. That makes us incredibly unique. And I am going to talk about that a little bit today. We're family here, in case you couldn't tell already. We do a really good job of being a family here. We do life groups, we do Barnabas groups. We address sin. I'm going to talk about that. The family retreat. Some of you have been, if you've been on our family retreat this last summer, a couple, not very many, but some. Some of you were at our family retreat this last summer. That is where we all escape and we go up to Cedar Falls, Iowa, and we do like a little vacation as a church. We close the services on Sunday, and we're all in Cedar Falls for that weekend. And we've been doing that for, I don't know, 6 years or something now, and it's just an absolute blast. We are such a family here, but yeah, we will talk a little bit about Barnabas groups and addressing sin, having hard conversations. We'll talk about that a little bit today. Our kids turn out great, in case you didn't know. We have wonderful kids around here. And a huge part of that is because we predominantly do homeschooling. I won't talk a bunch about that. You can get that out of the message. We do a ton of weddings. Yep. India Nepal ministry. That's enormous. You can listen to that on the message. Our generosity. I'm definitely going to talk about that. And the way we pastor. So this is important. And I want to talk about the way we pastor because that is so important to how we actually grow. Because your pastors here, me, Brian, and Kurt, we are so incredibly dedicated to growing ourselves. And one thing that is so important for us is that we have a plurality of elders. Okay, so most churches here in the United States do this wrong. They've got it upside down. They've got it backwards. The vast majority of churches in the United States, they'll have like an elder board that's in charge of the pastors. And that is just straight up unbiblical. It's not the way it's supposed to be. The way the church is supposed to run is the elders are the pastors. It's the same word, presbyter, out of the Greek. The elders are the pastors. There is not supposed to be a businessman who don't have the character qualifications to lead the church being in charge of the guys that are the pastors. So, and it is very clear in Scripture, you're supposed to have a plurality of pastors. You're not supposed to have just one. You're supposed to have several guys, at least, to run the church well. And so Kurt and Brian and I, we run the church together. And you need to know that. This is important to us, and it's the way it's always going to be. As far as it depends on us, it's the way it's always going to be at New Life Community Church, that there's several pastors who are completely unified in the direction and vision for the church. All three of the pastors have veto power, okay? So Yeah, we have different roles. So now currently I'm the lead pastor, I guess. So I'm the one who's going to be teaching the most, but that does not mean that I am the most powerful of the three. It doesn't mean that at all. Don't ever hear that message. Us three pastors, we have equal power here at New Life Community Church because of the character and the decisions we make. So if Brian and Kurt have a great idea and I'm not, and I don't like it, or I don't think we should do it, I have veto power and I can say I don't like it. If me and Kurt really like something, but Brian is like, nope, I don't think we should do it, Brian has veto power. The only way that we move forward with anything is when all three of us are completely unified in something. So if a decision is being made here at New Life, this is something that should be so incredibly comforting to you. If a decision is being made here at New Life, it's because all three pastors are unified in the decision. You will never have to wonder, well, was this Ben's idea? Like, maybe this is a bad idea, and maybe Kurt and Brian didn't like it. No. Every decision that gets made here, we're unified on it. And that should just provide a massive amount of comfort for you to know that it's not just one guy who's plowing and the other two don't agree with it, okay? So that's just a huge deal. We also raise up our pastors here, and this is so incredibly important as well. Another bad thing that happens, and I talk a bit about this in the State of the Church address, but I'll just say a short little thing about it now. We raise up our pastors here. Why? Because we have to obey the Bible when it comes to the character qualifications of a pastor. 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, they make it crystal clear what the character of the pastors are supposed to look like. And you can't know that if you're hiring a guy and you interview him three times and hire him to come be your pastor. You don't know the character of that guy. You have no clue. He could be a horrible guy. He just has talent. And that's the way most churches do it, is they hire guys because of their talent. They don't hire them for their character, and that's just straight up backwards. So the reason why New Life Community Church is as healthy as it is because we make sure that our pastors are qualified for the job. We may not be the most talented, the most gifted, but that don't matter. That didn't matter to Paul. It didn't matter to Jesus. It doesn't matter to us either. We are going to follow God's word, not just rely on talent and gifting, right? Okay, so there's that. All right, so let's talk about growing and giving. Okay, so point number one, here at New Life, we are committed to spiritual growth. This church has been around for almost 30 years now. Church is about 28 years. New Life Community Church started in Kurt Juergensmeyer's living room, okay? So it's been around for about 28 years, and the teaching that's gone on here for the last 28 years has been thick, it's been juicy, and we definitely have a very mature group of people here. That's another thing that should be incredibly comforting to you, is that everybody, not everybody in our church, but when this sanctuary is full of our people, there are so many people that have been Christians for decades, and they have worked very, very hard. They have done the hard right thing for decades, and they're chock full of all kinds of wisdom and character. And there's people in this room that could easily be pastors that aren't pastors just because they don't want to be a pastor, but they are qualified to be. So that should provide a tremendous amount of comfort for you, that this room is just, this is where you are going to experience growth and acceptance and compassion. People listen really well. People care really well. People work really hard. So it's just as far as I'm concerned, it's the safest place on planet Earth is New Life Community Church. I might be a little bit biased, but I believe it's the safest place in the world. I just absolutely love and adore our church, and we are committed to loving each other. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Outdo yourselves in honoring one another." You know, we've got joyfully serving Jesus with our best friends. That is absolutely our motto around here. We say it all the time. It's what we do, and it's how us as pastors operate. Brian and Kurt are two of the closest friends that I've ever had in my entire life, and we have been through the fire together. I've been a pastor here for 9 years, I think, something like that, on the team, and man, we've been through some really hard times, but we absolutely are the best of friends. That ought to be another thing that just provides you with a tremendous amount of peace and comfort. I don't have better friends than Brian and Kurt. They absolutely love me, and I would trust them with my life, and they trust their lives in my hands as well. And we really shape each other. We have very hard conversations on a regular basis, and we talk to each other. Anytime there's any kind of concern, we are transparent together. And so we speak the truth in love. One of our passages, one of our home chapters as New Life Community Church is Ephesians 4. And so I'll talk to you about a few of the verses here. We'll start in verse 14 through 16. It says this: "Then we will no longer be infants tossed by the waves and carried around by every wind and teaching and by the clever cunning of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Christ himself, who is the head. From him, the whole body is fitted together by every supporting ligament. And as each individual part does its work, the body grows and builds itself up in love." We speak the truth in love. This is absolutely huge for you. And if you care at all about being a member of New Life Community Church, then you need to be dedicated to speaking the truth in love. It's how we grow. So we do that, of course, through our preaching and teaching. If you've been around for a little while, you probably have picked up the hint already that we are not afraid of hard topics. We are not afraid to absolutely give you the truth. I shouldn't say that. Sometimes there is a little bit of fear involved. It's like, oh man, oh boy. Protect me, Lord, as I say this, but it's coming to you anyway. We're not going to back down from any topics. We are going to tell you what the Bible says, and we will stand on it, because that's the only way we can be safe, is if we stand on the truth. If we're bending on the truth, if we're being soft about it, then I don't feel safe. So I got to tell you the truth and hold you to it. So we speak the truth in love in our preaching, but another way that we speak the truth in love is through our Barnabas groups. I'll explain what a Barnabas group is, okay? Barnabas group, and Ben Gross will probably talk about this when it comes to belong as well, place to belong. But Barnabas groups are another way where we really experience growth and where we speak the truth in love to each other. Our Barnabas groups, what that is it's a group of people of the same gender. So it could be 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 every once in a while. But those Barnabas groups are where you get together with them and then you share your life together. It's not a matter of talking about how the Warriors played last night or how the Hawkeyes played or whatever. It's where you get together with them and you tell them transparently what's going on in your life. You do what we as pastors do, same deal. You get together, you go, okay, here's the thing. I'm really struggling with my job. My boss is breathing down my neck. I don't know what to do about it. I'm really worried about it. Or I'm struggling with bitterness towards my wife. You need to help me in my bitterness towards my wife, or whatever it is. It's not a matter of talking about how everyone else is a problem. It's talking about how you're the problem. That's why you go to this group, is help me fix me. Not, here's my wife, she's such a nasty blah, blah, blah. It's help me fix me. That's what you're going after. And confessing sin and being transparent about things. It's like, oh my goodness, guys, I'm really struggling with lust, or I'm really struggling with bitterness or jealousy, or I'm whatever it is, or I'm just being a lazy schmuck. I spent 3 hours last night on Netflix instead of doing the things that I knew I was supposed to be doing, whatever. So you get together in your Barnabas groups and you hold each other accountable. And you say, next week, I need you asking me questions about this, because we don't grow on our own. Kind of like what Brian was talking about earlier today. Things hard. Things are really hard. You want to change? Change is so difficult. The thing that makes it way easier is when you've got 5 people that you are going to report to. That makes it really easy to change. Much, much easier. Anyways, so we speak the truth in love in our Barnabas groups. The other thing I want to talk to you about is Renew Ministry. Some of you know what Renew Ministry is. Some of you don't. So I'll just give you a quick rundown of what Renew Ministry is. That is our, for lack of a better word, it's our counseling ministry. But here's the deal. When I was in seminary, I took several classes on counseling from all these doctors that had been in counseling for, you know, decades or whatever. And they said, Ben, if you want to be depressed the rest of your life and you want to be depressed throughout your ministry years, then get into counseling. Do counseling, because what happens is people come to you when it's too late. That's when they show up. They're in too much pain and they just want out. So you'll be working with these couples and you will be giving them, you'll be pouring your heart out onto their marriage, and you'll spend 2 hours a week with them every week for 2 years. And over those 2 years, you will give them the best that you've got. And if they just listen to you, you could fix it, but they don't listen to you. And so they will just continue. You'll watch them over 2 years just get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse until it's all over and the divorce happens and you poured out hundreds of hours on them and wasted your time and was depressed week after week after week. If you want to be depressed, then do counseling, because 90% of the time, it ain't going to work. Maybe 10% of the time, they'll actually listen to you. So that'll keep you hanging on. Okay. I just want to tell you, that's not the experience here at New Life Community Church. With our Renew ministry, 90% of the time it works, and 10% of the time it's a real, real significant battle. But 90% of the time it works. People come into our office and they're depressed and they're full of anxiety and they're full of fear and they're full of worry and they don't know what to do and they think that there is no answer. And we go to the Lord with that. We examine the emotions. The amount of advice that actually gets shared is very, very little. And in Renew Ministry itself, the formula, it's just asking questions. It's not a matter of us giving you the answers. That's not what happens. We ask questions because here's the truth. In your life, your issues, your problems come from, I know it's true, but it doesn't feel true, right? That's the big issue is I know it's true, but it doesn't feel true. I know that God loves me, but it don't feel like it at all. I know that God's with me, but I feel completely alone. I know that God says I'm valuable, but everything else in my life says I'm not. That's where things are really a big struggle. And what we do in Renew Ministry is we transfer what we know to the heart, from the head to the heart. From the conscious mind to the subconscious mind. That's what happens through very specific questions where we're just going after the devil because the devil used some sort of event in your life to wreck you. He used some sort of event in your life to lie to you. So we just figure out where that happened. We find where it happened. What was the event in your life where he lied to you? Go after that, replace it with the truth, and all of a sudden you walk out of the office feeling so much lighter and so much better. It's not a magic bullet. I'm not saying that you do one session and the rest of your life is perfect. Sometimes you got to do hundreds of sessions. I had to do 3 years worth myself before I was able to start slowing it down week after week. So anyway, Renew Ministry is just so incredibly powerful. And yeah, there's other churches out there that do things similar, but it's so few. And what we want to do as a church is we want to try and give it to other churches. It's part of one of the things we want to do here in the future. But that's another way that we speak the truth in love, which is very interesting because you're actually speaking the truth in love to yourself. It's not even somebody else giving it to you. So it's fantastic. We love Renew Ministry around here. We tout it all the time, and you'll get sick of us touting it eventually, but we're going to keep doing it. All right. Okay, the other thing we do is we speak the truth in love through having hard conversations. Okay, so well, what's our verse? We've got a verse here. Ephesians 4:3. Like I said, Ephesians 4 is home for us. Ephesians 4:3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Matthew 5:23-24. So if you're offering your gift at the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. We've spoken on this so many times at New Life Community Church where, and this is why we're at peace today. This is why we're at peace. Because we're so incredibly convicted about making sure that we have the conversations we need to have. If somebody has an offense with you, then you go and you talk to them about it. This is what is not normal. And in your life, maybe you're thinking about all the ways in which you kind of evade and escape and don't confront issues. And nobody really likes to be confrontational. Nobody likes to mess with anybody else's business when it's offensive to you because that's just not fun. And you don't want to be met with some sort of pride or rejection or denial. It's so scary to have the hard conversation with each other. But I need you guys to know and understand, if you're going to be a member here at New Life Community Church, this is what you're committed to. You are committed to having the hard conversation with people when you need to. Why? Because Jesus said, this is how important it was to Jesus. Okay, so let's just take this verse literally for a second, okay? Jesus said, if you are here to worship me, you come before the altar and you're going to offer your gift on the altar, and there, as you're about to worship, you remember, somebody's got an offense with me, or I've got an offense. Something is in my space with someone else. You're about to worship God. What Jesus himself said, leave your gift. do not worship me, go be reconciled with your brother, then come and worship me. So if we take this verse literally, if we take it seriously, it means don't come to church. If you need to reconcile with your brother, go reconcile with him first. Don't give your tithes. Don't give your offering. Go be reconciled. Don't sing. Don't pray. Go be reconciled. That's how serious this is to God. Now, I'm not saying that you can't come to church if you've got an issue with somebody. I'm saying you better make sure this is a top priority in your life. You tracking with that? This is so incredibly important. And if we don't do this, then things snowball and become an avalanche. We have been through some unbelievable, I could tell you some ridiculous stories of trials that we've been through that we did not see coming, that we had no idea. And it's all because this didn't happen. Every single time there's any kind of big trial in a church, it's because this wasn't obeyed. If we want to keep our church safe, we have to go to our brother. Anytime there's an offense, clear it up now. Because another phrase that is very common that you've probably heard us say, even if you haven't even been here very long yet, you've probably already heard us say, when we stop talking, the devil keeps talking, right? We say that comes out once every couple of months in sermons. When we stop talking, the devil keeps talking. Because think about it. Think about how you feel when you've got an offense with somebody else, there's something in your space with somebody, and they come walking into the room. How are you watching them? There's an offense. If you think, I think they're proud, then you automatically start to interpret everything they do through that lens of pride, right? Or if you think that they take advantage of people or that they're manipulative, oh my goodness, then you're going to interpret everything they do. Well, you're just trying to manipulate me. You have to have the conversation. The sooner you have it, then you can get that cleared up so that you can take the lens off. Because that lens, that's what keeps the devil talking. When we stop talking, the devil keeps talking, and he turns the snowball into an avalanche. So we keep talking to each other, right? Okay. All right. Okay. Now, sometimes it's you've got an offense with a brother. Other times it's you see, it's not an offense, but you see them going down a wrong path, right? Dwight Schrute, one of the world's greatest theologians, says, learn your rules. You better learn your rules. If you don't, you'll be eaten in your sleep. Okay. He's just a silly, stupid character off of the Office TV show. But there's truth to this. Learn your rules. You better learn your rules. If you don't, you'll be eaten in your sleep. There's so much truth to that because when we're being tempted, we're not paying attention. We're actually asleep. We're asleep at the wheel, and our lives are about to go off a cliff, and we're just happy-go-lucky in our sin and our temptation. It's like this. My wife and I, we go for walks all the time. It's just a thing we do. We're constantly going out for walks, and we live near the Cedar River down by Ellis Park. So we walk a few blocks, and then we're down by the Cedar River. Well, at the Cedar River, there's a peninsula there. And it's like this. So there's the path we're walking on, blacktop, and then the hill goes down at an angle, then it's flat for about 10 feet, and then there's like a metal wall, and it drops about 5 feet, and then it's the Cedar River. That's how it is. River, wall, flat, hill, path we're walking on. So we're walking down the path. We had our dog this a few years ago, Cinco, world's greatest dog, who passed away in 2020. Ugh. We're walking down the path. And Cinco's with us, and she's having a great time. Well, the water was up. All the ice had melted. It's cold out. It's like 45 degrees, something like that. And we're walking down the path, and since the water level was up, it was above that 5-foot metal wall, and now it was covering the flat part of the grass. And it's about 6 inches deep, just water. So now it's path, hill, water. 6 inches deep for about 10 feet, then drop off into the river. You know where this is going. So we're out walking on the path, and Cinco's having a blast. She's going down. She's kind of messing around in the water a little bit, and then she starts getting more and more courageous, and she's starting to run around on the grass that's six inches deep of water, and then she's coming back up to us, and she's shaking herself off, and she's all happy, and everything's great. We're enjoying it. So we're walking down this path. We get down close to the end, and there's some Canadian geese down there. And the Canadian geese are about 30 feet off of the flat, And when the Canadian geese see humans, we've been around this 1,000 times, when the Canadian geese see humans, they don't care. They don't make any noises. They're not worried about humans. But if they see a dog, they start squawking, right? To warn themselves and the other geese around that there's a dog over here. So we're walking, and then the geese catch the eye of Cinco, and they start squawking, which gets Cinco's attention. And Cinco, because she got tempted, she decides to sprint down the hill. She's running in that 6 inches of water, and then all of a sudden, the geese are about 30 feet away. Poosh, under the water, Cinco goes. She immediately forgets about the geese. Comes up, her eyes are all huge, like, what in the world just happened to me? And then she comes back up. That's like us, okay? I didn't stop my dog because I knew this was going to be hilarious. So I just let her run off into the water. I'm going to love you guys a whole lot better than my dog. If I see you headed towards danger, I'm going to say something. And if you're going to be a member at New Life Community Church, that's one of your commitments, is that if you see one of your fellow members about to ruin themselves, you say something. You love them enough to go, hey, I'm concerned. It looks like you're asleep at the wheel here and you're about to ruin yourself. Please stop, right? So you're committed to doing that. Psalm 141, verse 5, a righteous man, let the righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it. So we're committed to growth. And the way we do that is we speak the truth in love to each other, right? Point number two, New Life Community Church is a generous church. Okay. We'll talk about, you guys probably already heard, because we say this a lot at our church too. It's ridiculous how generous this church is financially. Unbelievable how generous. We got 200 people, 250, kind of depends on the week, whatever, but we have 3 full-time staff guys for that amount of people. That's pretty amazing that our church is generous enough to support that as staff. That's why you're so well-pastored is because of, that's one reason why you're so well-pastored is because you've given enough to support us as pastors to do that. That's so incredibly amazing. That's wonderful. But beyond that, we gave over $125,000 last year to India and Nepal. Each year, it just keeps giving, the number keeps going up. It's unbelievable how generous this church is. It's phenomenal what we've been able to do. And the influence that we have over India and Nepal, over hundreds of pastors, thousands and thousands and thousands of people, by far the most impactful thing that we're doing on planet Earth is happening on the other side of the planet. It's not happening in here. It's just phenomenal. So that's one thing that you are committed to as a member of New Life Community Church is that you do want to be, you long to be as generous as you can be financially. For those of you who have, I should have grabbed the book. Out in the foyer, there's a book, a real short little book. It's called the Treasure Principle. If you haven't read the Treasure Principle, it's how we operate around here. Financially, we do not store up our treasure here. We store up our treasure in heaven, and we give as much as we can. You know, of course, we take care of our family and stuff like that, but we are so incredibly generous. We know that our treasure is not here. We know that our happiness is not in things. It's not in homes. It's not in the creature comforts that the rest of the world is convinced it's in. We are generous with our finances. So that's something that you want to be committed to at New Life Community Church, is being generous with your finances. But beyond that, this church is generous with its time and its gifting. There's nothing better than serving God with your wiring. There's nothing better. And we understand that as a church body. Our people, our congregation, the members here, they give so much of their time, talents to serving God in the way that they are wired. Just an illustration. I used to run the core. Ben Gross is now kind of in charge of the core, but I used to run the core, and so we had these conferences, which is a blend between the core and conference. It was a weekend together. We'd be, you know, 3 days together. And those weekends, when I was running the core several years ago, were as busy as I could possibly be. The week prior, it's all kinds of prep. You know, I was teaching four times or whatever. And then on top of that, doing all kinds of Renew ministry with all the college students. And then, of course, they've got all these massive life decisions that they're trying to make. Decisions about college, decisions about their future spouse or relationship dynamics going on, and trying to make sure everybody is able to reconcile. So for the core friends, I just counted on, I'm going to sleep 4 hours for 3 days in a row. I just know that that's what's going to happen. And I'm going to be busy beyond belief the entire time. Go, 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 go. Wringing every last drop of love out of me for the week. That's what it's going to look like. And I just remember Sarah Wynette, she came up to me on a Sunday. It was a Sunday morning. We had been together for a few days, and Sunday morning, I'm about to teach for the fourth time or something like that. And Sarah Wynette comes up to me with her big puppy dog eyes, and she's like, "Ben, I'm so grateful that you care so much about how we're doing, but how are you? How are you, Ben?" And I was honest, because I'm an honest guy, and I'm like, "I'm exhausted. I am so exhausted, but I love it." There is nothing more satisfying than wringing yourself out in working for the Lord. There is nothing better than that. It's the best thing in life. It's the most satisfying thing. I know it's how Jesus felt. I know Jesus was tired. I know Jesus, with all the crowds, "I got to leave you for a second because I'm so exhausted. I need to go spend time with the Lord." But there's nothing better than absolutely exhausting yourself for the Lord. It's so rewarding. And maybe you guys have, many of you, we're here for like Summerfest. You see New Life Community Church on fire during Summerfest. Many hands make for light work. That is part of our legacy. We serve like crazy. Summerfest, we put the whole thing up in about a half hour. And at the end of the day, we took the whole thing down in about a half hour. And we served, you know, 900 people. It's just amazing. This church is phenomenal when it comes to that. So if you want to be a member of New Life Community Church, you are committed to being very generous with your finances, as generous as you can be, generous with your time, generous with your service and your talents. It's how we operate. Okay. just something touching. There's some weeks I need you to know that my number one priority, my number one ministry is to my family, to my wife and my kids. And I will never, ever, in my whole life, ever sacrifice my kids or my wife on the altar of ministry. That's not going to happen. I am going to make sure that if I have a really, really busy week, then I make it up the following week. I do something because my family, you wreck your family, you wreck your ministry, you know? And so many people, they end up with a shipwrecked ministry because they didn't pay attention to their family. That's not going to be me. I'm never going to do that. However, there are some weeks that are crazy busy, like those conferences weeks where I'm going to put in 80 hours. And my family knows it, and I prepare my family for that. You know, it's like, okay, there's a week that's coming up where you're not going to see Dad for the week. I'm going to spend extra time with you now, and I'm going to spend extra time with you at the end, but it's going to be a crazy week. And on those weeks, it's just wonderful how my family can support me. But, you know, on a week like that, I just remember this happened a little bit ago. It happens regularly, but the first time it happened was especially touching. I was running out the door. I was home late the night before, and I had to get out early the next morning, and Nathan was just bushy-eyed. He'd just gotten out of bed, and he sees me heading out the door with my coffee to go have another, you know, 14-hour day or whatever. And Nathan, he just says, "Hey, Dad." I was like, "Yeah, buddy." He goes, "Go change some lives today." They just understand that that's the point of all of life. So you give that to each other, and you give it to your kids, and there's much more I could say on that. I won't, but we do work hard for the Lord here. Colossians 3:23 and 24 is another home verse at New Life that you hear a lot around here, and it's this: "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving." Not only is it the Lord Christ that you're serving, but it's also the one who's working through you when you serve. So if ever you have received anything good from me, if ever you have received anything good from anybody else in this congregation, it's actually from Jesus that you got that. That's not Ben Hunt that's so loving and kind and serving. Ben Hunt's kind of a wreck. But Jesus in me, that's the gift. It's God that's doing it. And that's what you want. And that's why it's so rewarding, is because you get to be used for him when you serve and when you're generous with your time and your money. It's wonderful to do that. You're serving Jesus and you're being Jesus. It's all of life. Okay, so that's that. Those are the two, grow and give. So you've got that. Not too bad, pretty quick. I want to run over, last thing, we've got the membership covenant. We have that? Yeah. Okay. So at the end of 4 weeks, this is the covenant that you'll sign. It's a bunch of G's. Kurt put it together because he likes alliteration, right? Okay. So we've got grace, God's glory, growth, giving, gospel groups, and guides. I talked about growth and giving. I talked a little bit about the groups, you know, the Barnabas groups. I talked a little bit about the guides. That's the G word for pastors. Okay. I want to talk about grace. There's a sentence in here under grace. It says, I have expressed my saving faith in the biblical manner of believers' baptism so that I may enjoy communion together with the saints. Okay. I'm going to ask you guys a question, because this is part of the membership covenant. If you want to be a member at New Life Community Church, that means you're a Christian. It means you're saved, and it means you're baptized. So I don't know the state of everybody here. So I'm going to ask a question, okay? Don't worry about anybody around you. I just need you to be transparent and be honest with me, okay? There's no judgment, condemnation, or whatever. This is just trying to figure out who we got here in the room. Because some of you I don't know very well. I know some of you fairly well, some of you a little bit, and some of you almost not at all. So I just want to know where you're at. Okay, so let me just ask you this question. And this question is going to have one of three answers from you. Either the answer is going to be, yes, absolutely. I am so certain that the answer is yes. Or the second answer might be, nope, I definitely have not done that. No, I don't. I have not. And I'm certain that I have not. Or the third potential answer is, maybe? I'm not sure. So here's the question. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ in faith? So let me ask you, if you know absolutely for certain that you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, would you raise your hand? If you know for certain, not a doubt in your mind. Okay. If you know for certain that you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ, would you raise your hand? All right. Now, if you're thinking, maybe I have, I don't know, what does that even mean? I might have, I think. If that describes you, would you raise your hand? Okay. All right, well, let me describe something for you, okay? And then I'm gonna ask the question again, because this might be clarifying for you. You might think, oh, well, that's different. Okay, yeah, my answer changed. Okay. I wanna describe for you the gospel. Gospel, it's like this Christian word, and that word gets thrown around a bit. Like, what does gospel mean? Some Christian. Gospel literally means the good news. That's what gospel means. So when I say gospel, it means the good news. It is the greatest news that has ever been taught ever anywhere in the entire universe. It's the best news in the universe. That's what gospel means. Okay. Here's the thing. If I asked you a question. I want you to think about this. In your own head, how would you answer this? If I asked you, okay, let's say you died on the way home, you had a car accident, and you died on the way home, and all of a sudden, there you are in front of God, and God asks you the question, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? Just think about that. God asks you, why do you deserve to come into my presence for all of eternity, come into heaven? What would your answer? How would you answer him? Okay. Most people will say, well, I've been a good person. That my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. And so it's like this balancing act. If I live my life and I do enough good, then I get into heaven because my good deeds are heavier than my bad deeds. Question for you. Is that how God operates? Is God partly good and partly bad? No, God is only good. God is only pure. God is perfect in his judgment and in his righteousness. Absolutely perfect. God has never sinned. It's impossible for him to sin. Some people think, well, is there a rock so big that God can't lift it? Yes, there are things that God can't do because it's against his character. God cannot sin ever. It's never happened. He never will sin. It's against his character. He's perfectly pure, right? So if he's absolutely perfect, can he commune with anybody that's not perfect? If you sinned once, just one time in your entire life, you can't be with God. If you've cheated once, if you've lied once, if you've had lust once, if you've been jealous of somebody else's property once, doesn't matter what it is, any sin, you do it one time, you deserve punishment. You cannot be in God's presence at all. So that means all of us in this room are absolutely toast. You're thinking, okay, well, that doesn't sound like good news to me. You're right, that's not good news. The good news is you deserve punishment, but because God loved you so much, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you. So he dies on the cross for you. He takes your punishment for you. All the punishment that you deserved is now on him. And what that did, since he took on our sin and our punishment, what that did is it took all of his righteousness. His perfection is now placed on you. So now you're perfect, and now you can spend eternity with God because his righteousness is placed on you. Does that make sense? Okay. So what you have to do, your task, is to make sure that you place your faith completely in him. You give your life completely. This is not you say, I believe in Jesus, and then you get to go do what you want. That's not Christianity. What Christianity is you give your life to Christ and you make him the king of your life. My favorite parable of all time is the shortest parable. It's the one where Jesus said, there is a man who found a treasure and it was hidden in a field. And when he found that treasure, the greatest news, right? When he finds that treasure, in his joy, it says he goes and he sells everything he has so that he can buy the field that the treasure is in. That's Christianity. In your joy, you see, I need Jesus. In my joy, I go sell everything I have so that I can have Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. Jesus is the treasure of my life. He is 100% my king. That's what Christianity is. So when you place your faith in Jesus, it means you absolutely 100% make him king of your life. Does that mean you never make any mistakes anymore? No, you'll still make mistakes. But every sin you've ever committed is already paid for. But you're living your life completely for him. So I'm going to ask the question again. If you have placed your faith in Jesus like that, he is king of your life. If you place your faith in Jesus, if you know 100%, absolutely, yes, I have done that. Would you raise your hand? If you know for sure you have not done that, nope, I haven't done that. Would you raise your hand? And if you're wondering, maybe, I don't know, maybe I've done that, maybe I haven't. Okay. All right. If you are going to be a member at New Life Community Church, you got to do that. There's no membership at New Life Community Church without doing that. You have to be saved. You have to be a Christian. If you haven't done that, then there isn't salvation for you currently unless you do that. So what I'd like to do is just offer, maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, I need to do that. What you're saying, I haven't done it, and I want to do that. Is there anybody here that would like to make that decision? Okay. Well, I would like to just invite you to make that confession. We'll do that after, okay? So we'll finish here, but we'll meet right after this, okay? Come talk to me right when we're done. For the rest of everybody, so if you make that confession, you have given your life to him, he is king of your life, then the next step is, as it says, I have expressed my saving faith in the biblical manner of believer's baptism. If you want to be a member of New Life Community Church to sign the membership covenant, it requires salvation and baptism. If you haven't been baptized yet, you got to get baptized. And what baptism is the external expression of your faith. So in baptism, what you do is we have a tank of water, and you do this in front of your friends and family. You can do it here at church. You can do it whenever you want to, but you do it. It's a public confession. And it's a symbol of what happens to you. You die to yourself. So you go down underwater, and it's a picture of death. I am dying to me. I'm dying to all my sin. I'm dying to all of my fleshly desires. And then we raise back to new life to say, I'm living 100% for Jesus. I'm dead. Jesus in me is alive. That's what believer's baptism is, to be a picture of your salvation. So that's the other thing. If you want to sign the membership covenant, then you do need to be baptized. So if you have not been baptized, we got to get you baptized. Then you can sign the membership covenant. So we might have how many people here have not been baptized? Okay. So that'll be the next step, and then we can have you sign the membership covenant, okay? Sure. Just once. Okay, well, here, I think I know it. I'll answer it this way. Okay. If you have been baptized before and you have placed, and it was because you had placed your faith in Christ and it was your decision to be baptized, your confession of faith, then you do not need to be baptized again ever, as long as that was your heart's intent, was to do that. If you were baptized as a baby and it wasn't your decision, then that was not effectual. It has to be your confession of faith. A baby cannot express their confession of faith from their heart's belief. So if that's what you've done before, then you need to be baptized for real the second time, I guess. But if you have been baptized from your own confession of faith, then you don't need to again. Does that answer your question? Pauline. Okay. What I would say to that is that if you're thinking that when I got baptized, I didn't do it for the right reasons. I just did it because I felt pressure to do it from my friends. And the only reason I did it was to satisfy my friends, or I was doing it just to satisfy this weird fear I had about whatever, but I was not doing it because I wanted to make Jesus my king, then I would say, go ahead and do it again. Make Jesus your king. Do it as a public confession there. Hannah. I would say follow your conscience on that. So if you would like to do it again because you're fairly certain, yeah, I didn't do it for the right reasons, then you can do it again. Nobody's going to stop you from doing it again. Absolutely nobody. But if you feel like, yeah, I did it for the right reasons, then here's the flip side of that coin, okay? A lot of times kids do it with a purer heart than even adults do it. I have four kids, and my kids have all been baptized, some of them younger than others. But my oh my, when Selah got baptized, I mean, I think Selah, my daughter, she's 9. I think she has more faith than I do currently, even though she's very little. So let that be part of your decision too. If you're thinking, yes, I did love Jesus, but I didn't understand everything that I understand now. It doesn't mean that you have to understand everything. It just is a question of, did you have faith? Were you making Jesus your king? If that's what you were doing, that's all you need to know. You don't need to know everything else, you know, to answer that question. Any other questions? Any other questions about anything said today as far as growing, giving, speaking the truth in love, confrontation, all that stuff? Yeah. Right. I wouldn't worry about that. So, right. What Jesus is talking about here is when he's talking about if you've got an offense with a brother, or a brother has an offense with you, that's talking about your Christian brothers and sisters. Simply because we can't hold the world to our standard. You know, I can't, if somebody else is lying or somebody else is cheating and it's a coworker and they don't belong to Christ, I can't hold them to God's standard and the church's standard. I'm not responsible for them. I'm responsible to pray for them, and if I have a chance to give Christ to them, then, you know, I do that as the Lord affords opportunity. But other than that, I can't hold him to the Christian standard. So, yeah, it's, yep. Okay. Any other questions pertaining to today? All right. Well, hey, for those of you that would like to give their life to Christ, we'll stay after here. And if you haven't been baptized, then or you have other questions about that, then stay after and we can talk about that, okay? Let's pray and then we'll dismiss and then I'll talk with a few of you here. Father, we love you so much and we thank you so much for the opportunity to serve you. Thank you for the opportunity to give our money to you, to give our time to you. There's nothing more satisfying than that, than living completely for you. And Lord, I just thank you for these wonderful people. Thank you for bringing them through these doors and affording them the opportunity to see you, affording them the opportunity to be, to rub shoulders with your saints, with your kids, the people that absolutely love and adore you. I don't deserve a single thing that you've given me, and nobody in this room deserves what you've given us, but you are such a good, generous, loving, kind God, and we do want to make you absolutely 100% our King. There's nothing else worth living for. So I just pray, Lord, that you would take these people, that this would be an awesome first step on their journey, or millionth step on their journey as they're doing their best to walk with you. We love you, Lord. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so you guys will come back next week and somebody else will be talking about something else. So you got lesson four. Did you like lesson four? Okay. So you'll get some other lesson next week by somebody else. And you can pray for my surgery that's coming up here. It's going to be fun.